Welcome back, folks. Today, we are absolutely sprinting. No, we are rocket boosting into Chapter 77 of Dungeons & Drams. This episode is titled A Bigger Axe. And let me tell you, that title is doing a lot of heavy lifting for the absolute madness we just witnessed.
Honestly, A Bigger Axe sounds like a metaphor until you get to the end of the session and realize, nope, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, and sometimes an axe is actually a siege weapon wielded by a 15-foot iron golem. But we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Way ahead. We have to start where we left off. The sky above Ethryn screams. We aren't talking a thunderclap. We are talking a weaponized scream of pure, concentrated radiance.
This is Mechadexamethasone's breath weapon, and it's crucial to remember the setup here. This is a Durgar-engineered monstrosity powered by a Chardolin-encased ancient red dragon heart.
It's the ultimate hybrid of biology and industry, which is a huge theme in this chapter. You have the raw, necrotic rage of a dragon channeled through cold, calculated pistons and gears. And right in the path of that laser, Sandy's gang.
The visual description here is visceral. The ice slide shatters into diamonds. The heat bypasses armor. It's that sensation of, oh, we might actually turnpike in the first 30 seconds. Herax, the gold dragonborn paladin, takes the brunt of it. He's the tank, but even tanks have melting points.
He's literally wheezing smoke from his pauldrons. He asks for a status report, and Delmas Brickstain, our Triton cleric, drops the line of the morning. I am mostly medium rare.
Which is funny, but it also tells you about the mechanics. Delnus Dragon King Plate, the stuff he bought from Gnarl, is the only reason he has an ash. It absorbs just enough of the blast, but there is a casualty.
R.I.P. Binger, the celestial felid mount.
Gone, just evaporated. Returned to the upper planes. I love the narrator's note, wherever magical cats go when they run out of juice. It raises the stakes immediately. If the celestial constructs are getting vaporized, flesh and blood doesn't stand a chance.
Speaking of flesh and blood holding on by a thread, can we talk about Davil's star song?
Oh, Davil, the sun elf bard of the Doom Raiders. He is strapping himself into this mecha dragon, hooked up to a Chardolin interface that is actively breaking his mind. He's bleeding from the eyes, laughing maniacally.
And dropping the most horrific David Bowie parody in the history of the realms. This is Dragon Control to Sandy's gang.
It's brilliant and tragic. Davil is usually this cool, collected operator. Seeing him twisted into the screaming stadium rock villain shows just how corrupting the Chardolin resonance is. Also, he explicitly calls out Doug Woolwine's jorts.
He wants to know whose jorts he wears. Look, Doug Woolwine's jorts of the Golden Age are character unto themselves at this point. They survived a laser that disintegrated a celestial cat. Denim is the strongest armor class in the game, confirmed.
It's that absurdity juxtaposed with the horror. You have Durgar hammerers charging in, these cyborg dwarves with pneumatic hammers for arms, and meanwhile, Doug is dusting soot off his cutoffs. But the tactical situation shifts rapidly. Delnus pops spirit guardians.
The blender, the cleric classic, just a golden hurricane of violence.
He's effectively playing surface-to-air defense with spiritual tridents, while Herax and Doug are pinned. But the real tactical masterclass and subsequent disaster happens with Tookie.
Tookie, the gnome artificer. He's got his iron golem, Johnny Five, down in the crater. But Tookie decides he needs to handle the sniper, Ziraj the Hunter, personally.
The setup is great. Ziraj has been a thorn in their side with those black arrows. Tookie uses a cloak of the phase thief. I love how artificers always have a gadget that breaks the laws of physics. He phases through the tower wall.
It's a classic stealth takedown. He catches Ziraj unaware. Too slow, and he tackles him. A gnome tackling a half-orc is just pure physics. Low center of gravity plus torque.
But Ziraj is a Doom Raider. He's a pro. He gets knocked out the window, and most people would scream. Ziraj, he uncorks a potion mid-fall, drinks it, and turns into mist. That is cool. I don't care who you're rooting for, that is a pro gamer move.
It is, but Tookie's victory lap is cut short instantly. He stepped on a pressure plate. The room locks down. Iron bars, Chardalan blow darts, and then gas.
Green, heavy, chemical death gas. Tookie's critique here is perfect. A gas trap in 1492 Dale Reckoning? That is so cliche. He's criticizing the dungeon design while he's dying.
But he has an out, the portable hole.
Which is brilliant, but also creates a new problem. He dives into the hole to escape the gas. So now he's safe, but he is trapped in a hole, which is inside a locked room, which is filled with gas, which is in a burning city.
It's the nesting doll of bad situations. Meanwhile, outside, the battle is shifting. Johnny Five is engaging the dragon, trying to use poison gas against a machine, which doesn't work great, but it causes chaos.
And this leads to the emotional turning point of the encounter. Herrix is barely standing. He needs to take Davil out of the cockpit. He gets patched up by Delnus just enough to fuel the divine rage, and then he executes a maneuver that feels straight out of a Marvel movie.
The sword throw, the Holy Avenger. He has the Whisperweb scabbard, which allows the weapon to be recalled. So he hurls this legendary sword into the sky, past the dragon.
It misses on purpose. Davil thinks he's safe, and then by the power of Herrix.
The boomerang effect. It comes back, punches through the elven chain, and pins Davil to the pilot seat. And Davil's death speech, it's haunting. Tell Manshun I hate you very much.
It breaks the domination. Davil dies, the interface severs, and the mecha dragon crashes. In any normal story, the fight is over. The bad guy is dead, the weapon is destroyed. Sandy's gang starts looking for loot.
But first, they have to get the gnome out of the hole. Doug Woolwine sees the green gas, and we get to see the sorcerer mindset in action.
Standard procedure. When in doubt, apply fire. He casts fireball into the room to ventilate it, which, strictly speaking, works.
It works explosively. It incinerates the gas, blows the door off, and scorches the walls. Tookie pops his head out of the portable hole like a prairie dog. Efficient.
I love the camaraderie there. They almost killed him to save him, and he respects the efficiency. But this moment of calm, where the Duergar are confused and the dragon is down, is the eye of the storm, because Mechadexamethasone isn't just a machine.
It's a zombie. The crash rebooted it. The pilot is gone, but the necrotic red dragon heart is still pumping. It goes feral. And this is where the chapter pivots from an action scene to a thematic exploration of lineage and sentient weapons.
Right. We need to talk about the Axe of Vasavikin. Doug Woolwine has been carrying this thing. It's a relic of giant kind, specifically designed to kill dragons. It senses the red dragon heart and wakes up. It starts whispering to Doug, "The worm is broken. We will finish it." And Doug, who has draconic bloodline in his veins, just glazes over. He enters a trance. He's walking toward a kaiju with a sparky axe.
Tookie recognizes the danger immediately. He tries to intercept. He grabs the axe to stop Doug, expecting a physical struggle. Instead, he gets into a psychological argument with a piece of metal.
This is the funniest part of the episode. The axe enters Tookie's mind and immediately judges him. A gnome. You are small. You are insufficient. And Tookie defends himself. He has an honorary bachelor's in alchemy. He's trying to resume building with a god-tier weapon, but the axe has a specific requirement. It wants a titan. It wants a giant.
And Tookie realizes he can't be that guy, but he knows who can be. He turns to Johnny Five, his masterpiece, the Iron Golem.
This moment gives me chills. Upgrade. He hands the axe to the robot. The golem is essentially a construct, empty of a soul, but valid in terms of strength and stature.
The magic flares. The axe resizes. It goes from human-sized to siege engine-sized, a slab of rune-etched steel fit for a siege engine.
And Johnny Five changes. His eyes go from yellow to cold blue. The narrative implies the spirit of the frost giant queen, linked to the axe, inhabits the machine. The golem says, "Weapons systems engaged. Prime directive, disassemble mecha dexamethasone."
It's basically Short Circuit meets Pacific Rim. It's a kaiju battle in the streets of Ithrin. You have a necrotic robot dragon versus a frost giant possessed iron golem.
It solves the party's biggest problem. They are spent. They have no spell slots, no health. They cannot fight a dragon right now. So Tookie sacrifices his control over the battle to let the golem handle it. Buy us time. Kick its ass.
And Johnny Five drops a "your mother was a snowblower" line. I don't know who programmed that insult into him, probably Tookie during a late night bender, but it's perfect.
The collision of these two titans allows the party to slip through the wall of force into the spire. It's a great narrative device. The axe in the title isn't just the physical weapon, it's the bigger power, the escalation. To beat a machine dragon, they needed a machine giant.
And the sound design description, the muting of the sound as they pass through the wall of force, they leave the chaos behind, watching the silhouette of Johnny Five slamming the dragon into a library. It's cinematic.
It leaves us with a huge question mark for the next episode. They are inside the spire now. Johnny Five is outside. Did they just lose their heavy hitter? Did the axe steal the golem permanently?
That is the question. Tuki might have just upgraded his golem right out of his own command structure. If an ancient frost giant queen is driving the car, she might not want to give the keys back to a gnome.
Exactly. It explores the theme of technology versus magic again. Tuki built the chassis, but the old magic, the giant rune magic, is providing the soul. It's a dangerous fusion.
But for now, Sandy's gang is safe. Or, well, safe-ish. They're in a spooky dark spire. But at least they're not being lasered.
Small victories. And hey, the Jorts survived.
Long live the Jorts. All right, that's it for our deep dive into Chapter 77. Next week, we find out what's actually inside the spire and if Johnny Five ever comes home. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to check your bloat dart traps. See you next time.